Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's the weirdest thing someone's written on your Starbucks cup, like the barista?
Oh, girl. I don't go to Starbucks like that.
Really? You gave me a gift card. Where'd you get the gift card?
Online. The internet.
Oh, well, thank you. I have to share this because my girl, first of all, she gives me this whole thing about how she just takes such care to like spell the names correctly.
Does she?
And I like heard her say my name and I felt something was off, but I was like, no.
Yeah.
Because the way she, like, no one would say that's my name after I said it. Courtney is a common name.
Like, yes.
I get my cup F-O-R-T-N-E-Y.
Fortney.
Fortney. Girl, where? Girl, why? Girl, who?
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Job Logs.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, salutations.
Yes. Okay, this is the break room, the coffee break. Your workplace friends just chopping it up.
Yep, yep. Every Monday on Acast, iTunes, your preferred podcatcher catches there.
Yes.
And coming up today, we're going to be talking interviewing.
Yes,
Courtney.
Yes. I have joined the ranks of the interviewers.
Have you? Congratulations
recently.
And
yes,
welcome.
Yes, yes. And I've learned some things, so I'm excited to share that with you guys.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to share our lessons from the other side of the hiring table, plus our usual fun segments, Hired and Fired, Adulting, and more. So stay tuned. But first, we got to check in. So we always like to start our episodes with clocking in, seeing how we're doing personally and professionally. And we recommend you do the same with your networks. Courtney, what's up?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
The little poster with the cat. Okay. There's a motivational poster with like a cat hanging on a limb, and he's like, "I hang in there."
Yeah,
it's fine. Getting the reference, it's fine. but yeah, so I'm kind of also figuring out the best use of my energy. Because I saw this thing the other day, and it was talking about how like, are you like you're in your position for a reason? So are you learning from what's the lesson that you're supposed to be learning right now, or are you so busy trying to get out of it, you're not getting the lesson? And I feel like it kind of read me. And I'm trying to reevaluate. Because I'm always on to the next. I'm like ambitious. I'm like, this isn't
We've talked about this before.
We talk about this all the time. Like, just the pitfalls
we
of
both
ambition.
Are that way, yeah.
So it's like, I'm always like, this ain't it.
Yeah.
Let's make it what it
like
is.
Like a generational thing for millennials? We are just like, you know what? This is not giving me what I need. So
right.
I'm going to go ahead and hop over there.
So it's like, am I just like creating more conflict than I need by fighting it? Or am I just like on the path to greatness? I don't know.
You know, I think about like our parents' generation and grandparents' generation who kept careers for like 20, 30 years. I think my dad's been at his job for 30 years, which is insane. That's like older than I am. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's just like, I wish I could be that content with something, but it's not in me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out, though. Another thing that I saw that really helped me was, it was J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, and just general, you know, queen. And
you're familiar.
Yes. And, you know, she said, like, someone tweeted out, like, one of those packagings, like, J.K. Rowling's rules for success. And she, like, retweeted and said, I hate these things. Because she was like, basically, I've been winging it my whole life. I mess up all the time. Like, you know,
yeah.
Whatever. And I was like, you know what, girl?
That is truth and honesty.
Listen, sometimes you get so caught up trying to strategize and
nobody
like, what am I doing
playbook wrong?
It's like, girl, it'll work out.
Yeah. So. You're right. So, all right. Well, you're optimistic.
Yeah.
Your birthday's coming up.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Are you one of those like reflections for your birth year or the year ahead type people?
Not generally. Like for my birthday, as long as I'm not at work. Okay. And then I always try and take a trip. Like I always like to travel for my birthday. So as long as I have that.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good. And like it all starts to blend together after a while. Mm-hmm. I think after the 21.
Depressing.
It's not even depressing, girl, because I get better with time. Okay. Like once, all right. Like my 30s are going to be so cute.
So lit.
My 30s are going to be so cute. So lit. So it's fine.
Okay. Cool. Well,
what's going on over there?
I have a lot going on still. Always. I think that's just like a New York state of mind or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, work event coming up, Essence Fest, which I cannot wait for.
Yes.
It's going to be so turned. I'm going to be at Drago's eating all the charbroiled oysters.
Oh my God, I forgot about the oysters.
Girl, the oysters. It's going to be the time of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have this panel at Podcast Movement coming up
July 6th
through 8th, moderating a session that's called The New School Young Professionals Disrupting the Media Landscape.
And you have really great panelists, too.
I do. But I pitched that panel idea, mm-hmm. and I pitched all the panelists for the panel, and it got me thinking about how sometimes when, you know, last episode we were kind of in a rut and getting out of it, now it's summer, full swing. I feel like we're kind of mm-hmm. well on our way, but it got me thinking about how you can create a lot of your own opportunities.
True.
When, you know, things aren't going your way, or maybe if there's things around you that you don't like, it's so easy to just kind of reach, or, you know, let me not say it's easy because it's not always, mm-hmm. but it's easy to make the effort to just go ahead and reach out and try to create these opportunities. And I find that that's something that I do a lot in general in life. It's just if I'm ever bored or like, I don't know, understimulated, I'll just start something new or reach mm-hmm. out or connect with someone or have a conversation. And so all that to say, just to encourage you guys, like, you know, if things aren't going the way you want, you're not seeing the types of things that you want to see. I know this is a dialogue that happens a lot around media and representation. If you're mm-hmm. not seeing people of color and things like that, other issues that are much larger to solve for.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to start to create in those spaces where for you're real. Not seeing what you want to consume.
So, yeah, which is a great, much more productive stance than, say, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of us get caught up in critiquing what other people do or critiquing a system, and we get so caught up in the critique that we forget, like, we have this power to do
That's
things.
That's true.
Make things.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm, All right, so now for rants, raves, and reviews, where we're putting a spotlight on what's making life better and maybe what's making it worse,
mm-hmm.
or what could be better.
Mm, yes.
So what we're talking today, I have a, it's kind of all three.
Okay, rant, rave, and a review?
Yeah, all right. Bundled.
I'm curious.
And that I'm announcing that I am now Team Lyft.
Lyft.
As opposed to Uber.
Oh, I took one over here.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So I tried Lyft mainly because I was, like, somewhere late at night. I always spend money on an Uber, and I got stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
And then I remembered Lyft, like, gives you the free credit, like, your first 5 rides.
Yeah.
So I took Lyft. Mm. And it was great. And then they kept sending me coupons. which well, makes me sound like an old lady, like, coupons? But yeah, like, that's amazing.
Promo codes.
You get, no, but it was, like, built into the app. So, like, sometimes they'll be like, oh, you know, Monday through Friday during work hours, you can go to Manhattan.
Yeah.
And it's 50%. Like, and, like, come on, give me a discount.
Yes.
I'm in there. But the real reason that I'm into Lyft is, one, I talk to the drivers a lot, and they prefer Lyft.
Mm,
just
why?
Because I guess the cut is better than Uber.
Oh, okay.
But then, as I'm, like, reading more stories, I feel like Uber...
Shady business practice.
Oh,
I've been hearing a little bit about that.
Oh, my God. And then one in particular, I was reading about the subprime lending market. As you know, like, the housing crisis started mm-hmm. with subprime loans, people qualifying for loans that mm-hmm. they really couldn't pay off.
Yeah.
And they're saying that trend is shifting to the auto industry.
Hmm.
And Uber is in the mix, where
auto loans on cars,
auto loans for your car. And they're in the mix. They're not giving out loans, but they're referring people for car loans, basically because their resource is drivers. They want drivers with nice cars.
Yeah.
And that's a limited resource, especially with their competitors. So basically, they're like offering these too good to be true loans to drivers. And then they're like, oh, we'll deduct the payment like right out of your Uber earnings. So it's like you're caught up with going with them once you get this car because your earnings from Uber like deduct your payment. Then it's like ballooning. And people are kind of like trapped with Uber. And then yet they still like call them contractors so they don't have any benefits or anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just the fool.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, I have been, I've very team Uber for many years, but I can't really ignore all of that
the seedy stuff
that I've been hearing a lot of it. And then I mean, from a consumer perspective, I hop into an Uber and I'll be like, oh, this is really cool. They just announced this feature where I can sync my Spotify with with your audio system. And the Uber driver will be like, what now? They don't tell them anything. They'll be like, I didn't get the memo on that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
And it's interesting, too, just for a larger conversation. I gotta start writing your names down when I hear you guys say such great stuff. But just talking about how, like, we assume, especially Silicon Valley, they make this play that, oh, tech is gonna fix everything. And we're like democratizing all these things and sharing economy. And like, we're just gonna make such great things with these millennial techie people.
Yeah.
But really, it's like, the inequality, the discrimination, like you hear stuff about Airbnb and all these things, like that just shifts over because the structure is in place. Yeah. Like you're just the utility, like the app and stuff, you're just really duplicating the same issues and problems. Like you have to get to the heart of that.
Yeah. And it's, I think that's also about the people, right? Is that the people need to be your largest asset as a company. And anytime that, especially now that we're all socially conscious and care about like corporate social responsibility, you can't treat your people like a secondary asset,
right,
which is what it sounds like in some of these scenarios.
Yeah, like
happening.
All that predatory stuff. So
side eye. But I'll get into Lyft. I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the time.
I'll give you my code.
Okay. I have a rave.
Yay.
That's as less profound, but my rave is meeting agendas. So, you know.
Y'all in these meetings. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you're going to put an hour-long meeting on my calendar, send an agenda in advance. I would like to know what we're discussing.
Yes.
That is my rave. I love them.
You love meetings or the agenda?
Meeting agenda.
Okay.
We're not talking about meetings here.
Okay.
If the meeting is happening already,
it's just happening.
I need to know what we're covering.
Yes.
So, you know, the flip side of that is also don't just send blank meetings to just have meetings without letting people know what you're hoping to cover. And by agenda, I mean not just like, oh, here's topic 1, 2, and 3 we're going to be talking about, but what's the objective?
What are we accomplishing?
What is, if I'm in this meeting with 10 other people, what decision do you need from me? Because my feeling is I don't need to be there.
Oh, my gosh. That's my gripe. My top gripes with meetings are, one, I go to the meeting and it has nothing to do with me. Mm. Like, I'm just sitting there like, what am I in here?
Right.
Wasting my time. And two, when it's like you walk out and you're like, why? Like, we just talked and talked and we're basically in the same spot.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ugh.
It's the worst. And, I mean, I would even say, like, to a lesser degree, meeting agendas for informal meetings, too. So, I'm not going to email you, although Courtney will probably attest that I have. I'm not going to email you if we're just doing coffee and send you, like, a formal agenda, although I probably have done that. But I could at least tell you, like, hey, I'd love to chat with you and catch up with you to learn more about your career. Mm-hmm. Are you free this time? Because then that gives people a sense of what you're hoping to meet about versus, like, hey, Tiffany, I really admire, or hey, Tiffany, are you free for coffee in the next 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
For what? To talk about what?
Yeah, because I'm the type of person, I like being prepared. I like to think things through beforehand. So,
meeting agendas.
Don't waste time in 2016.
Amen.
All right, guys. So, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about the interviewing process.
Yes.
Now that we've both officially been on both sides of the hiring table, there are lessons to be learned.
Yeah, both applying for jobs and also hiring for roles.
Yeah, for sure.
So
the first thing I feel like we need to discuss is the resume.
The resume. That's always like a... I wish we could get rid of resumes, to be honest.
Yeah, I wish too. And you know what? I've been hearing these, I've seen these articles since I graduated talking about the resume is dead. You don't need it. You need a resume.
But you need it. We're not here to revolutionize landscape, so you need one. And while you need one, what are a couple common things you see that like are just huge red flags when you get a resume?
You know what? I have seen resumes and I'm like, why? I'm flabbergasted. But really, and then I was thinking about, like, how did I learn how to write a resume? Like, how did I learn these things? And then I remembered that I went to my career office at Howard, my undergrad, and I had, shout out to Ms. Dudley, and that School of Communications career office. Like, she sat me down, like, got me together, basically.
Yeah.
And so I think you can tell when someone hasn't had someone get them together.
Okay, okay.
And the main red flag is when I open your document and there are 2-3 pages
really?
For your resume.
Mine's 2 pages.
But you aren't entry level.
Okay, entry
level. Like, I was hiring for people, like, straight out of college.
Okay, so length appropriate to your experience.
Length appropriate.
And have somebody else, an objective party, tell you what that is, too. Because you might feel like your high school internship needs to be there, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. I don't need a bullet of, like, every single thing you have ever done.
Right. That's a good point. So I feel like when I get a resume, the only thing I'm reading that resume against is the job the person is applying for, right? So that means every piece of information that you present on the resume that you send to me for a role I'm hiring for needs to directly apply to either the company or that specific role.
Right.
So, like, you know, say you've had 3 jobs out of college. Mm-hmm. You can... One, do an audit to see if you need to include all 3. But if you are going to, only include the elements of those 3 jobs that apply to the role you're applying for. So if it's a project management role, tell me about how you've managed timelines and deadlines and projects and all those competencies that relate to that in each of those 3 jobs, right?
Right. So also, for example, if I work in an arts organization, if I'm hiring for like a marketing role, I want to know about your marketing experience.
Right.
Now, it's great that you have an interest in the arts,
right?
But the fact that you were in all these performances and your role and the character that you, I don't care.
That's an interesting distinction because that's industry versus the job function. Right.
So it's like, yes, this is like, it's great that you're in the arts, but that's like a bullet.
Yeah.
Like that's one sentence saying that I have experience.
Yeah.
You know, and this is my passion area. Like that tells me the same as this one page of all of your theater credits.
Yeah. You know, that's funny because I got, I've seen cover letters, and I recently realized...
Can we talk about cover letters?
Yeah, because cover letters go with resumes, so we're going to group them kind of together. And a cover letter can also just be the email that you write that accompanies the resume, right?
I love when it's just the email.
Right.
Like, I love that. I love it when it's just, like, 2 paragraphs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
You don't need
I don't
a formal
want to read
cover letter
that.
Unless somebody asks for one.
Yeah.
But... As we are talking about that, because you talked about that, the industry versus the job function, I just had this epiphany recently that I don't care. Like, when you write a cover letter that's like, and I'm so passionate about the arts, and here's why, and I just have a passion, and passion is great, but, like, that's like fluff, fluff, nothing, nothing.
Yeah.
I realize that I respond way better to cover letters or cover emails, whatever you want to call it, that are like, here's the experience that I've had in marketing. Here are the last 3 companies I worked at, and here's what I did for them in their marketing efforts. And that's why I'm or here's why I'm interested in this role, and here's why I think I'd be a good fit. So basically, like, my formula for cover letters is like, here's how I discovered this role. Here's the past experience I've had that can, like, you know, supports my submission to this role. And here's, like, what I'd like to see in the future. Here's how I'd like to grow and move forward, right? And that, to me, is way more powerful than, like, fluffing it up with, like, industry stuff or jargon.
Yeah, and also a great tactic is to talk like a human.
True.
Like, I've read, like, my past cover letters when I just graduated, and it's just
to
so, like,
concern.
So grandiose.
Salutations.
And, like, am I in the 17th century? Like, using, and you can always tell when someone's using a thesaurus to,
yes,
like, beef up their.
Yes.
It's just, like, we are both humans. Like, and the part of hiring is, like, you want to hire someone that, like, I have to share an office with you.
Yeah.
Like, I want to, like, feel that we can build,
yeah,
a relationship. And, like, if you are talking, like, George Washington.
Right. Girl, I don't know. Listen, I was guilty of those. I would have like four or five.
Oh my gosh,
paragraphs.
Reading my past cover letters horrifying.
Terrible.
Horrifying.
Terrible. It's like, I am like, it's a miracle.
And I think because looking in, you think like business, like you think it's this,
yeah,
dodgy thing.
It's not.
But like, it's people.
Relationships, yeah,
yeah,
and people. So that's like, we talked about cover letters. We talked about resumes. I mean, there's so much more we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say definitely taking a look at those. And, yeah, working with a third party.
I think that's
a
big, big thing is,
yeah,
getting someone with professional experience,
mm,
whether it's someone with, like, a career advisor or it's just someone in that field. Like,
yeah,
get someone else to look at it.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
So what next? So,
okay, so now
you got your resume.
We've submitted
it's
our
together.
Resume.
It's snatched.
In there.
Yes.
We've got our callback.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
Now we're in. So
interview
now,
stage.
Interviewing.
Okay.
Yes.
So your interview might be a phone interview.
Mm-hmm.
It might be in person. I mean, there's all types of ways that people are interviewing. So pre-interview,
mm-hmm,
I would say, a healthy piece of feedback is to ask questions. You know, who it might be HR that's coordinating it for you.
Yeah.
Find out who you're interviewing with and look
their
them
LinkedIn.
Up. Look them up.
Mm-hmm.
What's their job function? What do they do? Learn about them so that when you go in, you're not completely wildly unprepared.
Yeah.
So now you're at the interview.
Yeah.
You've done
and
your research.
And also, when I think about questions to ask, usually it goes back to relationships. Like, I think about, like, how does the role interact with the person that is doing the interview? How does the role interact with other departments?
Yeah.
How does the role interact with the organization at large?
Yeah.
And I think people, one, you get a great sense of the company,
yeah,
like, with the answers that you get. And then the person that's interviewing, they see that you're thinking about, they can just see that you're thinking about a holistic approach. Like, you're thinking about not only this role, but, like, I think it shows that you're thinking about, like, how you can grow, how you,
yeah,
can build on the role as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like we should take a step back because you touched on a major key that I think a lot of people are not up on. And
back
that's
it up.
Prepping those questions,
true,
for your interview. So, yes, you as the candidate are the person interviewing for the role,
mm-hmm,
but you need to come into that interview.
It's a conversation.
With a huge list of, yeah, conversational questions that demonstrate that you're thinking about it strategically, like Courtney said, but also to me, demonstrate interest. It's,
mm-hmm,
the worst when you ask, you know, do you have any questions for me? Or, like, as an interviewer, you're asking all the questions and getting responses and,
yeah,
then getting nothing back. It's just like, well, do you even want to work here?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, this is your life. This,
mm-hmm,
is about to be your career. You should care about what teams you're going to be working with or, you know, who your boss is going to be or their leadership style or philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And plug, we have a resource.
Yes, we do.
We have an ebook
awesome
that's floating
resource
around the web. It is 43 questions like that,
mm-hmm,
that can demonstrate your interest in a company that you can ask an interviewer. And you can find that at jobblogs.com/ebook.
Yes.
So start there. But yeah, mm-hmm, compile your questions.
And then I think shifting from questions to prepping your answers too.
Mm.
So I like to figure out, like, when they ask the tell me about yourself, I like to already know, like, what my spiel is.
So tell me about yourself should not be I was born in Mississippi.
By the river.
I went to high school here. No. Nobody's actually asking about,
right,
your life history. That to me, I mean, I have a formula I like to use. I think that is really, I kind of do my tell me about yourself as here's a little bit of what I studied and what I'm interested in. Here are the roles that I kind of took previously.
Like my career path.
Yeah. Like but then also not just like a narrative of like I did this, then that, but like here are the roles I did and here's what I found really interesting about that work. And now looking forward, I'm looking to do XYZ, and that's what brings me here to your company and to this interview.
Yeah.
You see that? You see how you tie it all in there? Major key.
Yeah. And then also, once you have your tell me about yourself down, just figuring out examples that you can point to when they talk about different skills. And you can say, well, not just that I have the skill, but I did this
exactly
to show that I have the skill.
Yeah. So it's like one thing to be like, it's one thing to answer someone's question to say, are you organized? Or, you know, this role requires a lot of organization, and be like, yeah, I'm super organized. I was very organized in my last role. And it's another thing to do. I like to do the STAR method. I know there are a bunch of different acronyms, but it's basically like thinking of tangible examples and using like situations. So what was the situation, the tasks that you did or the actions, and then the result. So the whole framework is the idea of like present a scenario, talk through strategically how you thought about it, and then also the impact and the results to the business. So instead of just saying, yes, I am organized, you would say, well, you know, at my last company, I managed a project, and here was the situation. Here's what we were up against. This is what I did to approach it. One, two, three. And then this was the result that improved that situation.
Yeah.
You know, boom, that's impressive. It's like, okay, this person's prepared.
Boom, done. Got it.
Yes.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, so we have our answers and our questions.
Yes.
How are we presenting
Presenting.
Interviews?
What is like the most egregious thing you have witnessed in an interview?
You know what? I had a pretty good round of interviewees.
Okay, cool.
But I will, you know what I do want to ask you is how do you figure out what to wear? Because, like, I work in an arts organization. So we laugh that we always laugh, like, we always ask each other, like, what did you wear to the interview? Because some people will wear, like, you know, a two-piece, you know, business suit, you know, their skirt, you know, their Hillary outfit. No shade, Hillary.
Don't do that.
But, and it's like we have a very relaxed office. But at the same time, that's tricky because you don't want to show up casual to the interview. So, like, how do you figure out the right thing to wear?
Yeah. Well, so far, I've always been able to ask someone that works there, because it's been companies that are at least big enough for me to find somebody to talk to informationally. So I've been able to ask. But I would say, you know, you don't – it's almost – just as bad to be overdressed in that two-piece suit as it is to be underdressed. You can't walk into a tech company and, like, you know, a skirt suit and stilettos and a blazer. Like, you just, you're out of place. So I like to do, I actually like to wear interview outfits that show a little bit of my style, but not too much. So I might do, like, an accent necklace, but then, like, an all-black dress or something simple that's, like, you know, it's straightforward. Yeah. It makes me look polished. My hair's together. A fresh face of makeup, fresh painted nails, or nail polish on my nails. And simple, but yet show a little bit of my personality still with some color.
Because there's definitely outfits that, you know, your day-to-night outfits that you can kind of shift based on the situation. Like, yeah, maybe you'll have a little jacket in your, you know, bag in case it's a little more upscale than you thought.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. A blazer helps for ladies. Mm-hmm. Like, just throw a blazer on anything, just about anything. But I mean, yeah, I would do research to find, even on the internet.
Yeah, Glassdoor. Like I'm saying, even like maybe their Facebook page, they might post stuff from the office. Like,
exactly. So I would, for an interview as a rule of thumb, I would try to do a step up from what the day to day is for your interview, right?
For sure.
Because you're trying to make a positive impression.
Ooh, controversial question. So I was talking to one of my coworkers, and she had a concern about her hair. Mm. This is for a black girl. Black girl's time.
Yes. Rest of y'all check.
And her mother basically told her that, like, you know how moms are. Are you gonna wear your hair like that?
I.e. translation. And, yeah. You should redo your hair.
Yeah. So like, she had braids, I think. Mm. And she was like, are you going to wear your hair like that? And she asked me, and you guys know me, I'm very much. I'm very much of the school, like, if this is how you wear your hair,
yes,
wear your hair like that. Yeah. Because you're not going to, are you just going to switch to a press? Yeah. Like every day
when you get hired, yeah.
Right? So no, like, and I'm the other school. Like, if this is an office that doesn't accept
my
the
hair,
way that
the way
I am,
you don't want to work there.
Then I don't want to work there.
I agree. But we also have listeners that are not in creative fields, that
corporate.
Are in finance or corporate or whatever it is. So the reality is this: you know what they say? We got to work two times as hard to get half as far. So I have not been above a little press for the interview, or I'm just being real. Mm-hmm. I've done it, or, if just whatever.
You know, I will admit,
put it
though,
up in an updo.
I won't
or a bun.
Go full on. Like, I mean, sometimes I will scale it back a bit. Like, I won't go full afro. Like, I won't give you. I won't give you that.
Yeah. Just being real. It's not the way it should be, but it is the it is. And you know, I might do a little slicked down bun or something. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna still show you that I have natural hair.
True.
But, you know, I might just put it together in something that's quote unquote neat, because my hair is always neat. Just to make that impression. And then yes, I will spring the full afro when I start. Y'all let me know. I would love to hear, though.
I know.
I would
I'm
love to hear what people
well.
Are doing, because that's kind of territory. And I just transitioned to natural in the last year and a half. So I would love to hear what people are doing.
Yeah, I want to know. Because, I mean, I know, like, child, we all have bills to pay. So sometimes the whole free spirit, you got to kind of tamp it down for work. So I get that.
Yeah.
But if you have the option, like, I definitely feel like, tone it down, but don't, if you have to put on a whole second skin, like,
that's not worth it ever, because you're gonna be miserable. All right, so anyways, we're talking about what you're wearing. You know what I have to say, though? I've seen some things, so it's all about putting it all together.
Yeah.
So whatever look, whatever personality, make sure it's polished.
Yeah.
Go for the tailored materials. Mm-hmm. Don't leave that cotton from H&M at home unless it looks good.
Okay,
like,
because you know what? You can elevate some H&M, but you got to look.
You have to know your body type.
True.
You have to know your body type.
True.
If you can get away with, you know, high-low mixes and throwing blazers on things and stuff like that, and you still look just as polished as somebody that went to J. Crew and spent $400 on a suit, good for you. Like, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
My body, the way my body works, like, it's things would be bulging and it just wouldn't be a good look. So I know that's not work wear for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, also a second set of eyes, second opinion never hurts in these situations. But don't let appearance be the thing that, like, doesn't
That doesn't get
move
you to the
next exactly.
level. Yeah, and I would say, just far as demeanor in general, confident, friendly, like, personable,
conversational.
Like, I try to, when I have an interview, like, I really just try to kind of psych myself up and just like, girl, I am so fabulous.
Yes.
Like, I'm walking in here like, yes, it's your pleasure. Yes, like,
it is your pleasure, yeah. though. Because you're solving a problem for this company. Mm-hmm. They have a gap that they need to fill, and somebody is filling in for this role that's not filled yet, and they are stressed, and they need to get somebody hired. Yeah,
there was some actress, she said in an interview, that when she her agent told her that, like, the casting director wants you to be the person for this part as much as you want the part. So, like, don't be nervous. Like, you guys are trying to help each other.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But you said confidence, and that's huge. Feign it if you don't have it.
Fake
I've
it
been
till you
nervous.
Make it.
But going, one little thing that makes a huge difference to me, when I go into interviews, you know, I'll talk about, oh, how's the weather? Or this office space is great. Do you guys usually sit open space? Oh, mm-hmm. or is that where the conference rooms are? Spark up conversation about something that you guys, like, you know, can have in common that's not related to the interview.
True.
Or, you know, oh, yeah, I live in Brooklyn and, you know, did this weekend or whatever. Because it adds, it lets people know a dimension of your personality outside of work. And the reality is people like to work with people that they like. So.
Praise God.
Yeah. I think that's it for interviewing.
Okay.
So you got it. You're asking your questions. You look good. You feel
you
good.
You sent your thank you note.
Okay.
After.
All right. So we're talking about follow up now. So you've had the interview.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Well, you know, I have a lot of empathy for interviewers now because I used to be, because, you know, you're at home, you're anxious, you're checking your inbox every day, and you forget that, like, this person, one thing I learned is, like, I still have to do my regular job.
Yes.
And interviewing takes a lot of work.
Yeah, it
so
does.
So it's like, give, you know, I'm more understanding about sometimes people taking a little bit to get back to me. Because it's like, it's a lot of work.
It's not, it's rarely personal. It's not you. It's either work or the budget got cut or HR. They're also working with a ton of people to fill the role usually, from HR to the hiring manager to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
So the decision is not on one person.
Right, right, for sure. And I will also say I discovered that, like, there were candidates that had really interesting backgrounds. And there was even one in particular that I was like, oh, this skill set is amazing. I wish we could hire this person. But the role that we need to fill wasn't their skill set. So, like, it was an amazing writer. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they could really add something special to the organization.
Yeah.
But the thing that we really need is a design person. Mm. So it's like, you might not get the role
that you want,
but, like, you might have left a great impression with that person. They might be thinking, like, oh my God, if I had the budget, I would still hire this person.
Yeah.
So I think not taking it as personally or as a hit on your confidence is key.
And following up to say thank you regardless, which I have already expressed my opinions on in a past episode. But follow up to say thank you. And then also, if it's a company that you want to work for, right, versus just that role, follow up with that person regularly anyway. I would like to encourage people to do that in general. But, you know, you can prioritize the companies you really want to keep on your radar. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not this year or next year, trust me, this workforce is so small. People's paths cross all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in touch with people. Follow up. Add them on LinkedIn so you can see as they're moving around, as you're moving around. You never know when. Those lines of communication.
And I have one of my past bosses, he does a great job of, he'll just, like, send articles. Like, that's kind of his way of keeping in touch with people. If he, like, he was like, oh, I thought of you when I read this. And, like, that's a really great, like, it's not taking up too much of the person's time.
Yeah.
It's not, like, making an ask of them. It's just saying, it's just keeping you on their radar.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. I love that. If you don't get the role, another key is to ask for feedback. What could you have done better? What was the reason maybe you didn't move forward? Maybe it was just that they had some other candidates that had experience that more closely aligned with it. But asking for feedback is something I notice not a lot of people do. And I think that's so, especially if you're planning to interview with a lot of different companies, you can take that feedback and improve your next round of interviews.
Sure. All right, so I think we covered the full gambit. Like the resume, interview, follow-up.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a brain dump. So, I mean, I think there's some gems
there's
in there.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's
so,
a lot.
So, you know, you guys let us know.
Mm-hmm.
One, let us know if, like, you're applying these tactics and how that's working out. Or if you have, like, your own interview secrets that you think can help someone
Other
else.
People,
definitely pass them on.
Yeah, I would love to hear that. It is now time for Ask Joblogs, and this is the segment of the show where we address your career and life questions. Mm-hmm. Submit them to us anytime, covering personal life, work, whatever, to joblogs.com/askjoblogs. We're here for you.
Cool. So we have a question from RJ. This is lengthy. Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read it. Hello, Joy Marie and Courtney. I'm new to your podcast and loving it.
Thank you.
I have a couple questions about how to search for a new job without burning any bridges at my current job. I'm really dissatisfied with the office culture at my company. Without turning this into a litany of grievances, my boss is a very harsh person. At first, when I was reading ahead, I thought it said trash, and I'm going to laugh.
Trash but person. It's harsh. Maybe that too.
Listen, and that combined with a bunch of other issues leaves me feeling unsupported and downtrodden most days.
Aww.
For reference, this is my first job post-grad school, but I've been in this position for over 2 years and see no signals that things will improve. I'm ready to fly the coop, but because I work in a very niche industry, job openings are scarce. I'm working on an email of introduction to send to companies and put some feelers out, but I'm not sure I can stay in my current position much longer without getting super burned out and bummed out about a field I genuinely enjoy. He's also concerned about the optics of leaving our current job. Here we go. Question. Does a gap like that on the resume raise red flags for hiring managers?
Interesting.
Or is it best to stick it out at his current job while angling for something better, even if it's a ways out?
That's a good question. So basically, how to leave a job without burning bridges.
Yeah.
And is it better to
leave a job without
like totally leave and become unemployed while you look or look while you still have a job.
Right.
I mean, my very strong feeling is unless this is a job that's literally breaking you down at a like mental health well-being level where leaving would be better for you, I would encourage you to stay. I would encourage you to stay because that paycheck.
Unless you're willing to like wait table, like seriously.
Whatever,
Unless you're some willing other type to do whatever, like wait table.
Or a trust fund or your parents' money, whatever. But being unemployed and not having money is not, being unemployed and looking for a job is very different.
Yeah, my
from
mother
looking
tells
for a job
all the time,
with a
bless
job.
Her heart, because through my ups and downs, she often said, like, it's much easier to find a job when you have a job.
Absolutely.
That's her big thing.
Because guess what? You're picky.
Right, so then you're putting yourself in the position where you have to take something. I feel
if you're
like.
Unemployed,
if you're
yes,
unemployed,
yes, you're desperate. You're operating out of a position of desperation. Your money is going to run out in a month or 3 weeks or whatever the case is, and you know you have to land something. And if for whatever reason things don't go as planned, as in my experience they never do, you're just kind of stuck. So I my strong feeling is to always look for a job with a job where you can.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, I mean, the question is, like, does a gap raise flags on your resume? And I feel like that's not the biggest issue here. Because you can always provide context for it. But it's, like, your mental health.
Yeah.
Like, your well-being. Like, are you willing to, like, deal with the uncertainty of not knowing how you're going to pay your bills?
Yeah. And if you do know how you are, then
I mean,
you know, more power to you.
Yeah.
People will ask about the gap. I mean, even if it's a small one, it's not a big deal if you can provide the right context. Especially since you said, I think you recently graduated or post-grad. So that's a good space to say, you know, I traveled or, you know, worked on. As long as you have some projects to fill that gap with, you're fine. So don't worry about that piece. But I would say keep that money flowing if you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't, it'll be fine. Just have an action plan in place.
For sure.
Good luck.
Good luck.
All right. We have another question. This one's from Anonymous.
Okay.
Should I pay a career coach or are you...
are
you a waste of money? I'm never a waste of money, honey. But no, I think the question is, should I pay a career coach or is it a waste of money? I know that investing... I know that... It is investing in myself, but I don't want to be taken for a ride.
You know, there was a little skirmish on the Twitters with people talking about.
I can't.
I love, like, you guys entertain me so when I'm at my desk and, you know, procrastinating. Oh,
it's hysterical because you barely tweet.
I know. I'm such a lurker. Like, I'm such a lurker. You guys entertain me, so.
Thank you.
But just about, like, the legitimacy of some of these coaches.
Oh, I'm
coaching with no credentials.
Yeah, that is as common.
Yeah.
On the interwebs these
so
days.
I really think that decision, like, it depends on one, vetting the coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then knowing what you want to get out of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have enough context. You need to, so. Yeah, you need to know what you want out of it. And then also, working with a career coach is not an easy fix that gets you there faster. A career coach is going to give you homework. They're there to guide, right? They're mm-hmm. not there to tell you what to do or to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, my question to you would be, are you willing to do the work with or without a coach, right? Because you could figure out the steps. You may be able to figure out the steps you need to take on your own. A career coach might be able to guide you and give you added perspective, mm-hmm. but you're still going to have to do the work either
yeah.
way.
Yeah, so I feel like you need to have a goal, like something that you know that you're working toward.
Yeah.
And then that person can help you do that.
Yeah. I will say, because I am dabbling.
They're not your therapist.
With
to help you figure
stepping
out
into that, mm-hmm. only because everyone keeps telling me I'd be very good at it. Mm-hmm. It's not something I ever thought I'd want to do. But I have found that the conversations that are most beneficial, in my opinion, I don't know if my friends would agree, are the friends who have hit me up in a rough place or when they're stuck, and I can help give them perspective and optimism about how to get out of that. So to me, I think that's like beneficial. Or again, if you know very specifically, I want feedback on my resume, or you know, I want coaching for this higher level interview in another field that I've never had before. I want somebody that can help walk me through that. Those are like deliverables you can give to the coach so that they can give you the best feedback and experience.
Yeah.
But
so
other
I think
than that,
it's like it's you have to do your own bit of soul searching. Like
don't
go in there wide open like hoping someone can
like just
tell
help
you
me.
What to do with your life. No.
Agreed. One more question. Another long one.
I
love these
it.
Love letters. Okay. this one comes from another anonymous Samita.
Cool.
First, thank you so much for making this podcast. I love it. It mm-hmm. helps me stay positive, and your advice is valuable and real. Keep up the great work. For my question, I'm currently working for a small company in the bleep industry. I bleeped it out because y'all be telling on yourselves. The work is interesting and the hourly rate is good, but the full-time offer seems far off because the work is slow. Recently, my best friend told me that her company was looking for an intern, and I jumped on it and told them that I would work the 2 days there that I'm not at my current job.
Okay.
After much consideration, I think the internship opportunity is more interesting and a better fit for me long-term. So, how do I tell the internship company that I want to intern there full-time, and how do I negotiate a good starting wage?
Okay.
Good question. I think that's good. I mean, anytime us have started an internship in the past, I always had the conversation as part of the interview around what's the growth mobility or what's the potential for an internship to convert to full-time. Now, going back to our roundtable discussion, now that I'm on the other side of things, I actually see that internships are coded very differently in the back end and in HR than full-time jobs are. So I feel like companies know pretty much when they have the headcount to convert an internship to a full-time role or when they want interns to apply for full-time roles. But the two don't really go together. Like, they're kind of treated separately. And that's not to discourage you, but it's just to say, like, don't assume that your internship is going to automatically convert to a full-time role if you're good at it. Because that's not usually the case.
Because it's really, girl, the budget is the
budget. Exactly.
Yeah. So I think that's a great reason to, like, talk about it in the interview process. So then your expectations are managed.
Yeah.
So then you know, like, maybe they just don't have the bandwidth. Use the word bandwidth. I'm sorry. But they don't have the resources.
Oh, that moment you realize corporate has taken over your life.
But yeah, they don't have the resources to bring someone on. So I think getting it, and I don't think there's anything wrong or taboo about talking about it.
No, no, not at all. It's great to talk about it because, like you said, then you manage expectations. So, I mean, I would say, like, so your question was, how do you tell them that you want to intern full-time? Is it I'm confused. Do you want to work there full-time or intern full-time?
It's more interesting.
to intern full time.
Yeah, so I think she was just going to do it for 2 days.
Oh, but and now she's like, thinking
about.
She was
like, how do I tell them that I want to intern full time and negotiate? Like, she went to full time and she would like a wage.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think we need a step in.
So, it's an unpaid internship then?
Maybe.
I don't have all the facts here. But, so, well, I mean, have the conversation. I think that's the bottom line either way, is like, ask them, is there the potential to intern full time? Can I do the 5 days a week versus the 2 that I'm currently doing? Also, do you have budget set aside for this internship? Could we look at it being paid?
Right.
It's all about a conversation.
Yeah. So I think it's more approaching it as kind of fielding them for like what their expectations are, what their resources are, instead of like going and saying, I'm proposing that I work here full time and then this is a great wage for me. Because then like that keeps you from looking dumb and they're like, see the problem with that.
That's not happening.
Right.
Below.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So keep us posted. Let us know how it goes. Now it's time for Hired and Fired. This is the segment of the show where we give props to people in pop culture and media that are doing big things that we admire or serve up termination papers to people who are not. We call it Hired and Fired. Courtney, you're up. What are you doing?
Okay, so I am hiring today.
Okay.
After much deliberation, I have decided to shine a spotlight on the one and only Serena Williams.
Oh, that's
also
a good
known as
one.
Head beehive twerker.
Yes.
You know.
Beehive twerker.
You know.
Sorry, not sorry.
You know, but also like one of the most talented athletes of our generation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just that. But the reason I'm highlighting Serena is because she recently became the highest paid female athlete in the world.
Yes, I saw that.
And kudos to her.
Yeah, Black Girl Magic.
Listen, and that is, you want to know the read of it all, is Maria Sharapova.
Mm-hmm.
She was the highest paid athlete before her. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, can't beat Serena to save her life.
Oh, wait, I never caught that.
No, okay, you were thinking about the drug
tennis.
Accusation.
I was. I didn't catch that.
Okay.
She doesn't do well.
She doesn't fare well against... You know, I don't follow tennis, you guys. I'm sorry. But I was looking it up, and I was reading some article written last year, and they were saying in 19 career matches against Serena, Sharapova is 2-17. She won twice. But she was the highest paid. So we're not going to get into why that is.
Twice as hard, half as far,
but you see it.
Twice as hard.
But you see
half as far.
It.
That makes me angry.
I know. But the reason that she's hired is because despite being the highest paid, rightfully female athlete now, in a recent issue of Glamour magazine, she talked about the wage gap. And she was basically saying how Roger Federer, I hope that I said that right, they won singles titles in August. And in defending their art titles, he got $730,000. Williams got $495,000.
Yo, this is real. Okay. I have worked at companies where I worked in HR, so I saw the salaries, and it was exactly that. It'd be women with the same exact title making half. Like,
right.
It's
crazy.
It just does.
It just boggles the mind.
I can't even. It makes me so angry.
And Serena told Glamour, these sports have a lot of work to do. And I really hope that I can be helpful in that journey, because I do believe that women deserve the same pay. We work just as hard as men do. I've been working playing tennis since I was 3 years old, and to be paid less just because of my sex, it just doesn't seem fair. Well, I have to explain to my daughter that her brother is going to make more money doing the exact same job because he's a man. If they both played sports since they were 3 years old, they both work just as hard, but just because he's a boy, they're going to give him more money. Like, how am I going to explain that to her?
Serena.
And I know some people are like, why is she saying this? She's already rich.
Yeah.
But it's like she has the platform.
Yeah.
And she's using it
paying
to
it kind forward.
of pay it forward.
Paying it forward. And it starts, it really, like, this dialogue is so important because it starts with all of us, mm-hmm. with one, advocating for yourself and asking for what you deserve, but also for on the other side of things, if you're in a hiring position, if you are ever interviewing, if you're working with interns, it's important at all levels to pay attention and to make sure that everyone is treated and paid equally. So.
Yeah.
Kudos to her.
Yes, you better.
Yes. Work, welcome to the team, Serena.
All right, before we go, we're going to get a little adulting in the mix. You know, we're all on a journey here. Mm-hmm. We're striving, and it's, you know, to get to being the people we need to be, we need to accept that we're adults here.
Yes.
And there's just little things that we all can do be better, fully functioning adults.
It's time.
So what do you got for us today, Joy?
You know, it is time for us all to package our clothes and take them to the dry cleaners. My thing today is dry cleaning.
Okay, what are we missing out from dry cleaning?
I mean, one, step your work wardrobe up to have a couple tailored pieces and such.
Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference.
And then you gotta maintain them, and to maintain them, you gotta get them dry cleaned.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I don't go to the dry cleaners often. This is new for me too. Mm-hmm. We're all learning together. But yeah, it just makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
Trench coats, blazers, things like that.
Yeah.
Slacks, pants, dress shirts, dry cleaners.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, look at the tags are there for a reason. They're
it's
not
true.
Just for the size. It
it's
also
true.
Shows you the care.
Sure, and you can't be throwing them in your washing machine and hanging them up on your closet door.
Especially if you're in New York and we have those old industrial washers. They tear your clothes to shreds.
Yes. Dry cleaning. Pay the $7 or whatever for the dry cleaning.
Yes.
That's it.
And take your coats.
Take your
coats. Listen, we do this every winter in New York. Your coat needs to be cleaned. I'm just going to leave it there. Well, that went fast.
Yes.
That was fun.
Good times.
Yes.
Always. Back in the swing of things. Thank y'all for listening. As always, tuning in, supporting the movement. Mm-hmm. We love you dearly.
Yes, and if you're at Essence Fest, Get Your Life in New Orleans, please look out for us.
Yes, we'll be out and about.
June 30th through July 3rd. Say hi.
Say happy birthday to Courtney.
Please do. Thank you.
I'll be at Podcast Movement in Chicago the following week, July 6th through 8th. Holler if you're down there. Or if you're in Chicago, say what's up. Maybe you could take me to Giordano's for some deep dish pizza.
Oh my gosh, I was in Chicago and I ate all of the things.
That's all I do there.
Ooh, so good. And let us know if there's topics that you want us to cover. Just tweet us at JobLogs or hit us up on JobLogs.com.
Yep. And if you love the show, don't forget to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And then we also get feedback. You know, we can address what you guys want to hear.
For sure.
Thanks. Bye.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.